Hi, my name is Johnny Dillon, and I'm here at Cuadros Corner.
Johnny, can you tell me your first experience with spirits, with liquor? What was that first memory that you can remember?
Of ever having it?
Yeah, of having it, selling it, like,
whoa. Okay, shoot, having it, I remember, I think I was about 11 years old. No, I was probably about, 10 or 11. It was my brother's birthday, and I was swimming in a swimming pool, and he kept on putting his beer down.
And then you just grabbed it.
Yeah, and he kept on going, why the hell is my beer empty? So after about the fourth one, he found out.
Nice. Do you have a big family?
I've got five brothers total. Brothers. Well, five of us total. So wow. I'm the baby out of the group. The runt.
Wow, it's a lot of boys.
Yes. Yeah. Nice. So we got Mark, Scott, David, Michael, and myself.
And was most of your family living here in the Valley, or where are you originally from?
Okay. Originally born in Guam. Lived most of our life in Florida, and until probably I was about 5 years old, and then we came to Texas. So,
and why here? Out of all the places?
Out of all the places, yeah. It wasn't really by choice. It was just one of the things that my dad got a job over in Dallas. He did what he needed to do up there, and then my grandmother was living down here in South Texas. So I got real sick during that time. She said, bring me down here, and then that was it. We got stuck, never left.
How old were you around that time?
5 years old. Wow. So I pretty much grew up down here.
Wow. And would you consider yourself a gringo?
I'm about the whitest Mexican you've ever met, probably.
And
I'm more Hispanic than I am white. Yeah, because I grew up down here.
But is that something that a lot of people like say?
Oh, yeah. A lot of my friends, once they finally, when we sit down and we talk, and we hang out, they're like, wow, I thought you were Mexican all the time. I didn't know that you were white, you know. We never knew that.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up in San Juan, not San Juan, Puerto Rico, where I was supposed to be, but ended up in San Juan, Texas. So
nice.
Can't complain.
When I met you, I was actually surprised that you were white, because there's a lot of white-complected Hispanics.
Yes.
And then with the beard and the hat and everything.
Yes.
You blended in pretty seamlessly.
Right.
So I was like, what? You're white?
Yep.
And you speak pretty well in Spanish as well.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah. We lived down for a long time, so everybody always had to test me. How many jalapenos can you eat? And you better speak Spanish in front of me. Of course, you know, the first thing I remember going into school and the first words they taught me were not was not good morning. Mm-hmm. I was in the principal's office real quick.
So after coming down here and sipping on your brother's beer in the pool.
Yes.
What happened when you started thinking about, like, what am I going to do with my life as you were growing older? What was that like?
Well, a lot of it's been just different opportunities. I guess God's put me in a whole lot of different experiences. We've had a lot of opportunities to be able to start up businesses, which is great because I come from a very poor family. And a lot of the stuff that I had to learn was, of course, how am I going to do this? How am I going to get enough money to pay for the bills? You know, just like anybody at this point. And it went from us having a window tinting business to...
Window tinting?
Yep. So my parents did that. My mom actually learned how to do the window tinting and taught everybody and took my brother's first...
For just cars or
everything,
businesses?
Houses, cars, RVs. And from there, that was my first experience with businesses, entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. And then when we ended up closing that business, then it was back out to the work field. And at that time, I had already dropped out of school in seventh grade here in San Juan. That was a whole other story and a half.
Yeah. But
so I had to learn real quick. Got my GED. I went and took it, I think, not even 2 years after that. So I think that high school would have been a waste of time for me anyways, because I passed it. Then it was like, oh, okay, so you passed your GED? I remember my dad telling me that, yep, great, congratulations. Now it's time to work. I was like, what? He's like, so I remember it was time to go to work. We had to work. I had to learn how to do window tinting. And then we got into television and film. I ended up doing, working with Channel 5. I remember that. And then up in Houston, Telemundo. Mm. And then working over in Florida, Fox, NBC, CBS, ABC. And then that was going good up to my 20s.
What were you doing for them? Like, were you behind the camera?
Yep. So I was photog. I did editing. CG work, and then down in West Palm Beach, I was up in the helicopters. We were doing the mornings, morning shows, yeah.
So you feel right at home with all the cameras and lights?
Oh, yeah, it's great, you know. And it's funny, though, because now we're back in Weslaco, Channel 5.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And what was that experience like when you were in that world of video and photography?
Oh, for news? Oh, man, it was great. It was a lot of fun. You get to see all kinds of stuff. I mean, there was the good side, of course, and then, of course, with most of the news, they don't want to show the good stuff. Everybody wants to see the bad stuff so they can reflect to have a good life compared to theirs.
Yeah.
So we were shooting a lot of that. So that was in Florida and Miami. It was scary because you see a lot of the real stuff going on. And, you know, you're running out there with the camera and you're the first guy showing up to a crime scene that's still active. That's the last thing you want to do is be showing up with a camera where somebody's out there holding a gun or they just shot somebody or stuff. You know, we got there too early sometimes.
Wow. So, and did you ever see that movie Anchorman? Did you ever kind of like get, I don't know, like the itch to be an anchor?
Well, they had me on the front for a little bit doing some stuff. Yeah, just but it was a little PSA work, you know, just little public service announcements. So it was nothing, not on the news 5 at night, you know, talking about crime scene stuff. No, it didn't do that. Yeah.
So then you went through this experience, and then what happened after that?
Ended up once I got out of news and came back to Texas. That's when I got into construction, and by doing that, I started learning more about building houses because we had never even really lived in houses. It was apartments or we lived in mobile homes down here. So I got really excited about building a house for somebody because I'd never done that before, of course, and I'd never really lived in one before. So by doing that, I took each project as my own. So I put a lot of passion into it and learned how to do it. And then also the money that came from it got us out of poverty in a sense. It got us just into a little bit better places where we could finally live into a house. You know, we could finally move out and get a new car and not have to work on it for once.
And how did that feel?
Oh, are you kidding me? It was $1 million, man. You know, it was great. It was definitely rewarding because one, every house that I drove by, people still live in it. They were having their experiences. They were having their life, having kids and, you know, just, it was awesome. It was a great feeling being able to build something like that and be proud of it. You know, it took a while to realize what I was doing after a couple of years, you know, because it was just learning the whole time. And then by doing that and then getting into doing a commercial project in Brownsville, it was a night I was running one of the tractors by myself because I was trying to get the work done. And I remember running the fork, the front end loader, knocking down one of the walls. And I remember seeing the pipe coming straight out and came past me. I moved out of the way. It went through my shirt, nicked my skin, and stopped the truck. And that's when I said, all right, turned it off. And I said, I'm going to sit here for a minute because I could have died. When I turned it off, the lights went off. There was nobody anywhere. So I was like, if I would have got impaled tonight, nobody would have known I would have been here. I would have been gone. That's when I said, all right, things need to change. Construction's great, but it's too dangerous.
Yeah.
So I think that next day is when I talked to my dad. I said, I kind of want to have a backup plan.
Yeah.
And that's when we ended up coming out. Somehow I came out to a liquor store. And he goes, you can do a liquor store. People are always out drinking. It's recession proof. You know, it wouldn't hurt once you're done with this project, go open one up, see if it works. If it doesn't, you always got construction to fall back on.
Wow.
And that's been, what, 4 years later? Five years later?
So.
Two stores now, going on the third one.
So what? So exactly what were you doing at the construction site?
Well, some of the guys didn't show up on time, and I was doing the demolition. We had to get it done within 1 week, and we were already 3 days in, and the guys had not showed up yet. So I ended up having to go and rent the equipment myself and start at the work. So I was trying to get Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday work done by Thursday.
Yeah.
So I got about up to Tuesday work before I almost killed myself.
So you were like putting down a wall?
Yes. So we had three buildings and each one we had to knock down all the walls inside because we're going to build a plasma center.
Right.
So this plasma center was called, the company was called GCAM. They were a South Korean company. And it's kind of like medical field meets Donald Trump. Because the South Koreans, how they look at it, if you give blood or plasma or you do anything in the medical field, you know, to give, they treat you like royalty. So you're to be treated that way. So just the bathrooms alone, the public bathrooms that we built for when you're in the waiting room, they're about almost $200,000, almost $300,000 just to build those. Wow. I mean, it was just insane, the detail work that we had to do.
So you're still in construction, but you're you also have the your backup plan.
Yes.
But is this now not your backup plan anymore?
So yeah, the liquor store was my backup plan. Now it's kind of getting back into construction. So I'm learning how to coexist with both. That's kind of the thing now. So we've got the liquor stores going. In fact, we're just doing a contract today for the one on the island. So that one's going to be set up soon. And I've got a house to build right now, and that one's going to be on the island also. So it's all starting to fall together.
Nice.
So I'm going to be busy real soon.
And just to clarify for the people that might be watching or listening.
Yes.
Where are you located? I know you've mm-hmm. mentioned it to me a couple of times. You even were here at one point mm-hmm. during a previous episode.
Yes.
And you were able to speak very eloquently about about your store. But for those yes. listening right
Thank
now,
you.
Talk to us about Johnny's Liquor Cabinet.
Okay. So Johnny's Liquor Cabinet, the first one that we're opening up, right? Well, the first one that we did open up is over in off of, what is it, Trenton Road in Edinburgh. Mm-hmm. That one's kind of our main store right now. We've been there going on 3 years. That one's next door to the Card House, Walk-On's Restaurant. Mm-hmm. That one, I thought I was going to be in there by myself running it, and then I ended up bringing in more people to help us out. So it grew really fast, which is wonderful. I thank God for that every day. What sets us apart is the fact that I actually let you sample everything when you come in, because there's so many bottles that nobody's ever tried.
Yeah.
And I tried them when they came in. I did all the hard work tasting them.
Yeah.
And I found there's so much liquor out there that nobody's ever tried, but it's delicious and it's not subpar. It actually is as good, or if not better. It's just they didn't market. That's the only yeah. difference. And so by doing that, we've kind of grown our own niche because of that. We've learned what the alcohol is. When somebody comes in, we're not going to just say, hey, this one tastes good. We're going to let you taste it, but then we're also going to explain to you where it came from, why it tastes so good, and kind of go through the palate range yeah. so you guys can have a choice. Mm. And then that's where Laguna Vista came into play. We ended up going over there because I did want to do stuff in that area. Mm-hmm. So we have two counties that now that we could deliver out of.
Yeah.
And we're finding out.
Wow.
Yes, we do deliver. We were the first ones actually doing free deliveries even before COVID came out.
Wow.
And then when COVID hit, we were utilizing our services not only for, you know, delivering liquor, but we were helping out other people because we found out there's just so many people that did not have a car. They had no way of getting out of their house during that time, and they were literally at home starving. Mm. And everybody goes, well, how come you didn't take them to the food bank? Mm-hmm. They can't drive to the food bank. They don't yep. have a car, or they can't see. You know, a lot of people there was ladies that were pregnant at home, they barely had any income going on. So what we ended up doing was we'd get up early in the morning. I'd go hit up HEB and other places and get as much eggs as I could and canned foods that you could, you know, do the tops with. You can
right.
pop them open. And we were doing deliveries before 10 o'clock to take all that food to everybody. Mm-hmm. And then when the store would open, if they would call in and say, hey, this is so-and-so over on this address, we would take it over to them also. So we were
wow.
doing double duty.
Wow.
And we had people actually, we had a GoFundMe page for a while and people were donating.
Wow.
You know, it was a very sobering experience
yeah.
during that time. And my guys would come back crying.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, what's going on? He goes, man, it reminded me of my grandmother's. It was just right here, right down the road. And I said, I know, man, we're blessed. Mm-hmm. There's so many people that needed our help. You know, we're more than just a liquor store. You know, we're here to help the community also. You know, it's not yeah. about just getting people drunk.
Yeah.
You know.
And a lot of the times, people aren't aware of what is going on behind, you know, the curtains.
Yes.
Like you mentioned, you were helping the community, and a lot mm-hmm. of the times people don't know about all those things that business owners are doing for the community.
Yes.
Was this in the Edinburgh area or all around the valley?
Yeah, it was a lot of it was all in Hidalgo County alone, because one of my friends, she has a nursing home mm-hmm. and she was the one that brought it to my attention. That because I had checked on her during, it was right when COVID was just happening. So I called her up and said, hey, is everything all right? I sent her a text and do you need anything? I'm at Walmart right now and they do have eggs and bread and everything. I said, I can bring it to you. Mm-hmm. I said, just send me a list of what you need and I'll do a little bit of grocery shopping for you.
Yeah.
And she sent back a list. I mean, it was like almost 2 pages long. And that's when I was like, what's going on? So I
yeah.
called her and she told me about yeah. that. And I didn't think anything of it. I felt bad, you know, but that was it. And then I went at home. And I remember I was eating, the girls were there, and we had our breakfast, and I remember it was Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all there full and giggling and laughing, and we were safe, you know, COVID was just happening. And that's when it hit me, and I remembered the list that my friend had sent me.
2 pages long.
2 pages long, and I looked at my kids, you know, at the time, the girls, and I told them, I said, look, you don't know how blessed we are. And then I explained what was going on, you know. And it hit me, so that's when I went outside and I said, you know what, I'm gonna get on there, do a little live for my friends and just say, hey, anybody, if you're blessed, if you came from nothing like a lot of us have, and we're in a position right now where we're sitting at home with our bellies fed, lights are on, we got water, we got AC, we got heating, we got everything. just reach down and think about the people that don't have it. Because right now I was just notified that there's people in our neighborhood just close by here that doesn't have anything.
Yeah.
And I said, just come to the store, drop off whatever you can, call me, reach out. And then I said, I'm going to put the GoFundMe page together. Yeah. And I did that on that Sunday. And that's when everybody started reaching out on that Monday.
Wow.
It was just, you know, out of a necessity that we didn't even know that was just literally within blocks of us.
Yeah.
People are starving. It's crazy.
And even up to now, there's the RGB food bank in Far. There's still people lined up all around the block.
Yes. And you can imagine, like, the food bank, they do a great job throughout the valley. They feed so many people. Mm-hmm. But how many people can't get to the food bank?
Yeah, because they don't have a car.
Because they don't have a car. And that's the part. There's a lot of other people that are still not getting the food and the resources that are needed. And I think there's a lot of things there that are still, there's still people falling through the cracks, even though those programs are there for them. They need to think about also possibly getting to a program where they can do deliveries to people, which now we're in the age of, you know, Uber and everything else, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm sure a lot of people would love to help out.
Yeah. And just like how you were eager to serve the community, by the sounds of it, when people visit your liquor store, you're ready to serve by offering them tests, taste tests. And I don't think I've ever, I don't frequent liquor stores, but when I have gone to get something for a Christmas party or something, I've never seen anyone offer any sort of test or anything.
Yeah, and there's a lot of liquor stores. They'll do the regular sampling. You know, you'll have one lady there, and she'll give out your shot and whatever, but they're far few in between. Where mine, it's not really a complete tasting. We're just giving you small samples. Mm-hmm. So you can have two or three samples. They're not going to be more than an ounce completely total after you've tasted everything. Mm-hmm. But it's just enough to get your tongue wet so you can taste it and say, I like it or I don't like it. And I think that's so important because when you go to a liquor store, a lot of these bottles, they're beautiful, but you don't know what it's going to taste like.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody else, just like myself, I don't want to spend $60 or even $40 on something that I'm not going to like. Mm-hmm. So I think by opening that door, allowing you to be kind of like a kid in a candy store, as long as you're over 21 and you're not drunk and, you know, all the TABC rules are met, I mean, there's nothing wrong with coming in to try something before you buy it.
And most of the times, I know that for me, when I'm looking for a bottle, I always try to, like, guess how it's going to taste based on the presentation, like how the glass looks or whatever.
Yes.
And you actually open it and give it. So I think that's awesome. I know we were recently here. We were having a fashion show with Yvette, and you were serving drinks. How was that experience?
It was pretty good. I mean, it was good that all of that was donated. So just want to make sure that everybody knows that, you know, it was a good donation. And by doing that experience, that's the reason why all the stuff that I had recommended was all the brands that are not national brands to give out. And I mean, just like when I was at the store, everybody loved it. And they're like, oh my God, I didn't even know this was out there. I can't believe it's so smooth. And you know, that's a good feeling knowing that at least I know my taste buds are working just like everybody else's.
Yeah. What did you think of the fashion show?
Oh, the fashion show was amazing. It looked like you guys have been doing this forever. You know, it's a great show. Glad to be part of it, and I can't wait for the next one.
Have you considered having taste tests where, I guess, like for example, I know nowadays businesses are big into creating content for their pages and whatnot.
Yes.
And I've seen that you are really big on putting yourself out there and creating content. Like, you're always coming out on camera and things like that.
Yes.
Is that in part because of your experience in that field a couple of years ago?
Yes.
And does it come like natural to you? Because a lot of people, they have a hard time you know, promoting their own business.
Doing their own promotions and that. Yeah, it wasn't easy. I mean, it wasn't easy at all. Where I did the construction, I started doing that. And that's what was the first place I did it, because I'd done construction, and then 2008 hit and the market crashed. So I had to get out, and then I had to work on other stuff. And then when the market started coming back and I got back into construction, a lot of people were like, oh, I didn't even know you built. Yeah. And they were questioning it and looking down on me almost. Yeah. And I was like, you know what? I got the power right here in my hand. I said, every morning I'm going to go out to the job site, and I'm going to say what I'm doing, and then I'm going to show what I'm doing, and then I'm going to explain why you want to do this. And if your contractor that you've hired or thinking about talking to or is working for you and isn't doing this, you need to ask him why he's not doing it, because this is the way it's supposed to be done. So I was shining light on the guys that said that I didn't know how to build. I knew they weren't building right. They were cutting corners. So I said, I'm going to kind of just give you a little poke right back. And by doing that, that allowed me, when I went to the bank, there were, you know, a lot of guys, they still ask me, what do you know how to build? And I said, what part of the house do you want to know? You can watch the video while I'm filling out the paperwork. They're like, oh my God, I didn't even know this. You know, so my thing, when I got into the liquor industry, I didn't know much about it, and I was learning it, and I found that a lot of people didn't even know it that were in the industry. So I was like, okay, so this is an opportunity. So by practicing every day and making some really bad videos and just watching them and really having to watch them, like, oh my God, I'm not going to do that again. You know, I just built upon it, and I felt there's nobody else better to sell a product than myself. And people like what I did with the construction. Hopefully they're going to like what I do with liquor.
You're pretty talented, because the day when I was here, I asked you, hey, I want to try something that tastes like this. And you made up this concoction. What do we call it? Wet dreams?
Wet dreams, man. It was good.
Everybody was really impressed. I was like, that's delicious.
It was like a sweetheart, man. It was really good. In fact, I got to write down the recipe again, because we're going to have to recreate that one. And whole behold, because of that, is because I've tasted everything when it came in. I was like, okay, so I know this one tastes like this and this one tastes like that. So we can mix them together and create a new drink. And that's what I've been trying to do with a lot of the bars and that. I try to get the guys that have already been trained even. So look, come in, taste some of this stuff, and let me show you what I've learned. And then you guys can run with it. And now you'll have your own signature drinks for that restaurant or that bar that you know how to make, that nobody else is making them, because you guys are going to start buying this different liquor that hasn't been introduced into the bars yet. And I know it's working, because my store sells so much of this product. So there's so many of those people that come in that are my clients that are drinking this. And if a bar would just get in on that, or another restaurant would get on that, like they're doing now at the Island, those people are going to ask for it, and they're going to see it, and it's there. And they're going to start going back to that bar or that restaurant, because now they're getting what they actually like. So the times are changing to new liquor. Now it's just trying to get everybody else on board.
That's true. One thing I wanted to ask you was, there's so many scenarios where one drinks liquor. What is your favorite event or scenario? Is it like a celebration? And what's your like least favorite scenario to drink?
Oh, least scenario to drink personally?
Actually,
when I'm at home by myself, I won't drink. I don't drink at the house. Now, if I have a whole bunch of people over at the house, they want to drink, then yes, I'm more of a social butterfly when it comes to drinking. You know, places I do like to drink, just like the events that we did. I'd rather be hanging out with everybody than versus being behind the bar. But if I'm behind the bar, I don't mind being back there. I'm comfortable with it, you know, running the products that I do know and educating. I always love being to give people that experience that I've had. So I love to share that knowledge. It's just, it's something that I like to do.
And what have you noticed here in the Valley that you have a lot of, you know, people are drinking all the time. They like to have a good time. Is there something that you've noticed where, like, you've seen a pattern where, like, there's a lot of barbecues, or like, do people talk to you when they're buying their alcohol? Do they tell you, open up and like, hey, my brother's coming into town, we're doing a barbecue. Like, can you talk to us?
So what happens with the experiences now when they come into the liquor store, where we've kind of changed it out, because a lot of people that come in, as soon as we come up to them, they're like, what are you doing? You know, it's like, let me tell you about the store. You've never been here, obviously, before. So I tell them, let me tell you about the experience, because one, we're going to give you customer service. Two, we know actually what's in the liquor that you're looking for. And then the next thing is just, we start asking questions. You know, what do you drink? What do you like to drink? And then once we find out what they like, then I kind of, we go through and try to get them towards that flavor range. We tell them, look, it's not that Jack Daniels is not good. You've been buying it all your life. I was drinking it too, and I still drink it. But I want to get you something, two or three other options that are there. So you're not just drinking Coke all the time. Sometimes you drink water, sometimes you drink orange juice, sometimes you mix them together. You know, sometimes you put your vodka in with the orange juice and cranberry juice. So you're not stuck with one thing, but everybody gets stuck with one liquor because they've only tasted one that was good, and then they tasted something that was completely horrible, and they said, that's it, I'm going back to what I know. And that's where we want to get people comfortable. So that's why we start asking them questions, and then really the main thing is, what do you drink? I drink that Janus, great. Let me get your opinion on this one, and I'll go get it. And they start asking the questions. When they start asking, then we can start doing the dialogue of what it tastes like. Otherwise, I like to just sit here, you taste it, and you tell me what you think it tastes like.
It feels like a white glove service.
It is. It is. And that's what I think the biggest thing with Johnny's Liquor Cabinet, even my guys now that are there, if you go back and you look at our reviews, Because we ask everybody, just give us an honest review. Let us know how we're doing. It's insane. I think we're still at 4.9 after 3 years.
Wow.
And we get paragraphs of it. I mean, I go through and I read it, and it makes me proud. Like, I can't believe that.
They took their time.
Yeah, and I can't believe I even was going to open up a liquor store and run it by myself. Now I got guys in there, and they're saying how good they are. And the little bit of training that we have done and worked on and role play for the last 3 years paid off. You know, and customers, they tell us, they come over there because they saw the reviews, and they were reading them, and they were honest reviews. Mm-hmm. And they'll go in there and they'll ask for David, or they'll go ask for, Adrian, or any of the other, Andreas, or Scott, mm-hmm. or David, or any of those guys. They'll ask for them by name, and I'm sitting there like, hey, I'm the owner, I can definitely help you out. And they're looking at me like, now we're going to go with this guy.
Yeah.
And I was like, good, I'm out of here. You guys have fun.
I wanted to ask you about one thing you mentioned. You said role-playing, like mm-hmm. training your employees. What type of people are you looking for when you're trying to hire someone? And mm-hmm. why is role-play, I'm imagining it's a crucial part of the training, right?
Yeah, it's just like anything. Like a lot of the training that you can do, you can sit there and go, yes, 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 I know how to do it. But then as soon as you go, okay, I'm going to walk outside and come in and be the customer, I'm going to be the happiest customer, I'm going to be the worst customer, I'm going to be the mean customer, I'm going to be the customer that, you know, just is not very happy today and then I come in and very cocky, yep. you know? And then as soon as I do that, they're like, oh, they're freezing, they don't know what to do. And I said, this is the reason why we do role play. And this is the reason why I have certain questions to ask people when they're in situations like that, yep. whether they're happy or not. Because I always tell everybody, you're in my house, you're in Johnny's liquor cabinet. So whether you're having a good day or a bad day, at the end of the day, you're going to taste something and hopefully you're going to be better.
Nice.
You know, you're going to be a little bit more wiser with the drinks that you're getting.
Nice.
And by doing the role play, it's scary at first because you don't realize the questions or the attitudes that are going to come through the door, because you get some people that are hangry and upset and, yep. you know, and they're going to lay into you. And you got to know how to go, that's this guy's personal situation. It's not my fault that this guy's upset.
Yeah.
And I usually tell them, hey, when they're upset like that, I tell them, you know what we need to do? We need to get you a sample. Are you over 21? And then, oh, you don't think I'm old enough? I said, you're definitely old enough. I just got to make sure your ID's legal,
yeah.
valid, because I'm going to have a drink with you too, it sounds like. And they're just like, yeah. oh, and they start laughing. Or they'll break down and tell you what's going on. And
oh, wow.
you know, I just tell my guys, talk to the customer, see what kind of day they're having. Don't worry about your sale. The sale's going to come.
Yeah.
Get to know the person that's in there, because you're going to interact with them all the time, and hopefully they're going to be repeat customers asking for you. So get to know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Ask them questions about them, and don't tell them anything about you unless they ask you about it. You know, be interested in them.
Where did you learn this mentality of, first of all, being of service to the customer? Where did mm-hmm. that come from? Where did you learn that?
I think from the lack of service that I got from every liquor store I went to. When I went to the liquor stores, you go in, there was bars on the windows, it was quiet,
yeah.
usually smelled nasty in there, and the guy was sitting there behind the register looking at you, trying to see if you had a gun or if you were going to rob him. Then you ask him where something's at, and they don't know. They don't know what it tasted like. And that's when I said, no, I don't like that, you know?
Yeah.
And then it took a little while before I actually was able to open up the liquor store.
Yeah.
And once I got into that point, I remember I was at the mall, and I heard good music at this one place that we were shopping at. Everybody knew what they were doing. They knew what the product was. They were happy. And I was like, I want this for a liquor store.
Yeah.
You know, I want it to smell nice, look nice. People are happy. They know what they're talking about. So then I had to figure a way to be able to set up my store without bars, you know, on the outside of the window. So it yeah. looked inviting. I wanted it bright. I want you, if you came up in your car, you could look in the store and see the whole store.
Yeah.
There was nothing hidden. So it felt like you want to be in here.
Yeah.
You know, you want to come in here. And then I wanted my guys to be able to do that, you know, to provide that comforting, fun experience.
Yeah, because it was missing when you would visit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I could actually see from your logo alone,
yes.
it feels very bright, very mm-hmm. like, I wouldn't say simple, but
yes.
it's very like Johnny.
Yes, yes.
It's very inviting, I would
Thank
say,
you.
Because you yeah. have your cabinet, and a lot of people, mm-hmm. businesses, it doesn't say the name, or just say something else.
Right, so. Right. And I put my name on there. The only reason why I did that, I put Johnny's on there, and I still even put it smaller than what my service was, liquor. I wanted to make sure everybody saw that.
Yeah.
A lot of people knew me growing up. Mm-hmm. So we all would hang out, you know, different places, whether it was Mexico or whatever, and a lot of people knew Johnny. Mm-hmm. And it was even when they came in to do the construction, nobody asked for Suncoast, they were asking for Johnny.
Right.
And then when I was sitting down, it was one homage for my dad, of course, because I'm a junior. But the second one was the fact that people come looking for me, well, then I need to have my name associated with whatever business
right.
I do.
And that's important.
And if I'm giving quality out, I want to make sure that people know, hey, if they hear Johnny, it's liquor, Johnny, you know, construction, or Johnny, whatever, selling tacos,
yeah,
you know, we're going to go over there and try it once because yeah. it's got to be good. And it's going to be a different experience once you get in there, I'm sure.
Yeah.
He's going to put his twist on it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the route that I've been going only because people were asking for me. Mm-hmm. You know, but now they ain't asking for me at the store. They're asking for the other guys working yeah. for me, which is cool.
How many people do you have working for you in total in the liquor stores?
Currently, right now, I think I've got six people total.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so not too many, but, you know, small crew.
Nice. Yeah. And are most of them, were they, like, familiar with liquor, mm-hmm. or was it something that they wanted to learn?
I've got one that is a bartender. He had been a bartender for 28 years. David Gaitan, an excellent guy. The store would not be the same without him. He definitely brings his flavor to the table. David Navarro didn't know anything about it except for what he drank, mm-hmm. and he's got a different flavor that brings to it. And Andreas is a younger guy, and he's barely getting into the industry. He's like 24 years old.
Right.
And so he's kind of learning everything, which is good because he's got a whole different approach. So as far as anybody, one certain type of person, no. The only type of people that we look for are people that are willing to come out of their comfort, you know, out of their comfort right. zone, and willing to interact with people and ask questions. And that's been the hardest part because I've got a couple guys that work over in Laguna Vista, Scott and Todd. Mm-hmm. Todd is an excellent sales guy, but he used mm-hmm. to do it over the phone a lot. So yeah. when he came into the store, he was kind of freaking out a little bit because he was like, oh my God, this is way out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
So I was there and I practiced with him. And it took a little while. It took a couple months before he finally got real comfortable with it. And then after that, forget it now. He's a beast. I can't even keep up with him myself.
Now they're all confident in their abilities to handle any type of customer, right?
Yes, because they've gone through the bad customers, man. You get more bad customers sometimes. It depends. You know, once you get closer to the holidays and everybody's stressing, you know it's the end of the month.
Love that. I wanted to ask you about personal branding because obviously mm-hmm. you consider your name important. Because you obviously just mentioned that you want to put it on your liquor store, on your construction, anywhere.
Yes.
Why, for those that might be watching and they're like, why? What is personal branding and why is that important? What would you have to say to them?
I think it goes back to your core values. So anybody that opens up a business and is the owner, you are the reflection of that business because that is your creation. So a lot of people say you want to go and make your business statement. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to serve people, I'm going to help them. And, you know, all of that really goes to who is that individual that opened up the place. Even if it's a couple, you both got the same, you know, core values mm-hmm. of how you're going to put it out. And I think that's probably the main reason because one, we've had a lot of different businesses growing up. So I was almost a serial entrepreneur. Mm. But every time, the one thing that I learned from my father and my mother was integrity. And right. you better do things the right way, whether somebody's there with you or they're not looking at you. Mm-hmm. You know, God's watching you, and at the end of the day, karma's there waiting to happen.
Yeah.
So sow the seeds correctly.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel at least with a lot of people that do know me or have known me over the years, they know I'm gonna give them the best experience I can. We're gonna be honest, we're not gonna cheat you out of anything, and we're gonna go above and beyond what we normally would do compared to any other. You know, company, which we're not even really trying to compare ourselves to anybody else. We're just trying to do better than what we did yesterday.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why when we do all of our experience at the liquor store, mm-hmm. and at the very last time, you know, when somebody walks out, if we know them, hey, Carlos, you were in here, you had a great time. We, you know, we gave you stuff that you never had before. Just do me a favor. My name's Johnny. This is David or whoever it was that was helping you out. Mm-hmm. Give us an honest review. Let us know how we did on your own time. The next time you come in, you know, we'll give you 5% off or whatever. But, you know, let us know how we did. I'm not asking for a 5-star review. I'm not asking for a 1-star. I want an honest review from you. And by doing that, that leaves pressure off them to go so they can tell us whatever they want.
Wow.
And by doing that, I mean, people have been brutally honest. And luckily, it's all been 5 stars.
Wow. So you actually asked them to do
yes.
it?
Yes.
Wow. That's actually pretty smart because, believe it or not, a lot of the times people expect your customers to leave the review mm-hmm. themselves, but by you telling them and asking them as a favor?
Yes. I mean, because what happens is a lot of people that come in, they're like, oh my God, we've never had this experience before. We've never had a liquor store and, you know, be so inviting and really educate us and take the time mm-hmm. to work with us and teach us new stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, we take the time to show them recipes, show them new liquor, you know, so it's a whole new experience for them. It's like, mm-hmm. wow, my kid, you know, this is the way it should be when you go into a liquor store. Yeah. And so that's why, so we're providing all the service for them. And that's why at the very end, we get to know them. They already kind of know who we are a little bit by the 15, 20 minutes that we spend. Sometimes we'll spend an hour with somebody. Yeah. And, you know, that's why the last thing that we ask is just one thing for us out of all the things that we gave you is an honest review. And that really puts us out there because they could put whatever they want, you know?
And sometimes I enjoy making a review because I'm being honest.
Yes. And we've had them leave pictures and just, you know, everything else, you know, the great time that they've had. And I think the only really bad reviews that we've had was people really getting upset because we asked them for their ID because they didn't have their ID with them. And it was like, I can't let you. I know you look 35 and you are probably 35, but not going to happen. Yep. You know, it's like walking into the bar. I can't give you anything if you don't have your ID.
Yeah, that's important. Mm-hmm. And it's good that you're sticking to the rules because not a lot of people ask for the ID.
No, I got in trouble once right when we first opened.
Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people like are hiding or they're like undercover trying to like check if you're.
Oh yeah, that's how I got in trouble. The very first time that I opened, we had been working it back to back. Yeah. I call it nines, but it was basically 6 days a week, but I call it 9 days a week because we were putting in so much overtime. It was coming up to the holiday season. I was finally going to take a small break. And it was right when we first opened in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
And I remember the family was there. I was running everything. We had a lot of people then because we just opened up. And it was great. I mean, we had people in line waiting, you know? Wow. It was an awesome time.
Congrats.
And thank you. And the guy came up, and I remember my mom was there, and I was like, Mom, go ahead and take care of this guy. I'm going to show you how to run the register while I'm out of town. And she went to do it, and she said, no, you do it. I'm going to just watch. Okay, so I looked at the guy. He was tall, receding hairline. He had facial hair. I was like, this guy's got to be 40-something, you know, at least for sure 30.
Yeah.
Had a beer. I was like, okay, let me get that. Find everything. Okay, great, cool. Boom. There you go. Give me the money. Gave him the receipt. He took off. So we're there talking and everything else. And the next thing you know, I see one TABC agent come in. Next one come in. I'm like, oh, hey, welcome, guys. He goes, no, Johnny, you come here. And I was like, what did I do? And I'm looking around at the other guys like, did they do something? So I walk over there. Hey, what happened? He goes, okay. So you remember that guy that came in? Yeah, that 40-year-old? No, that 20-year-old. I was like, no. He goes, did you ask him for the ID? And I said, no, I didn't. He goes, exactly. So do you know what's going to happen next? And I go, oh, man. I was like, oh, great. Yeah. He was like, yeah, you're in big trouble. You're going to be going to jail. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, man, I was going to go on vacation. He goes, yeah, but not to the right place now.
Wow.
So he sat there and he's writing it out and everything. I was like, there's no way. You know, I was like dumbfounded, embarrassed, upset because there's no way I want to serve anybody that's under 21, period.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to be rude and ask him for the ID. And that was my problem at that time because we just opened up and I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
And what you don't think about can get you put in jail.
Yeah.
Luckily at that moment, all of a sudden, he's on the phone. I mean, his radio starts blowing up. They had to go do another event and they go arrest somebody else. Something bad, something worse than what I did was going on.
Wow.
And he looked at me and he pointed at me and he goes, Wednesday, I'm going to call you. If you do not answer your phone, I'm going to have a warrant for your arrest.
Wow.
And he goes, where are you going for your vacation? I said, I was going to go to Houston. He goes, you better be back before Wednesday.
Yeah.
So he wrote it all out. And I was like, yes, sir. And I was like, I got a vacation, but I'm still going to jail when I come back.
Wow.
So that was the worst, man. That was the worst weekend.
Did you go to jail?
Oh, yeah. I had to go to jail. And what he told me sobered me up, and I realized that was it. So when I went back after the next day, when I went in there, I told all the guys, this is it. First thing, everybody's IDs, period. There ain't no playing around. I said, use me as the example. I said, if you don't ask for the ID and I find out or I see it on the cameras, you're fired immediately. This is zero tolerance. Zero policy. Wow. That's it.
Wow.
And so that's why ever since now, when you go into my store, you are getting ID'd. I don't care how old you are. The ladies love it. The guys laugh about it. And I tell the guys, if it looks like he's going to be upset, just tell him, no, it's not about your age. You look like you're almost old enough. You know, it's just, I got to make sure it's valid.
Right.
And when you do that, they look. And we actually found a bunch of IDs that weren't valid. Wow. So we couldn't, you know, sell them or anything. We couldn't, you know, give them a drink or anything, but they were actually happy about that. Mm-hmm. And most people, if you are a respectable adult, mm-hmm. you know, you're going to come in and go, thank you for IDing me. And the ladies love it. So You know, they always crack up. And I always do it, hey, oh, you look like you're barely 21. You're good. You know, they look at me like, whatever.
Nice. What would you say is your favorite part about owning your own liquor store?
Gosh. No, no after hours. I wish. I guess the good thing is that I got a good selection to choose from.
Yeah.
You know, and then by having the liquor store now versus then when I was a kid, is at least now I know a lot more about liquor that I never knew about. And I never realized there was so much liquor out there. I didn't know there was so much spirits out there.
Yeah.
And I'm getting to meet a lot of very, very cool entrepreneurs because I get a lot of them bringing in their own liquor. Mm. So then I get to meet the guys that are the distributors, but then I also get to meet the distillers.
Wow.
And that is really cool because you get people that have put all their life and all their passion into this one drink, and they come in and when they explain it to you, it just makes the difference in the world because you can see the excitement in their eyes because they've been working on this all their life to sell it.
Yeah.
And now you're getting to taste it and find out, man, does it taste good or does it not taste good? And it's like, wow, this is really delicious. And there's so much out there, so much different liquor, and there's still new flavors being made all the time.
And when it comes to like, because I'm imagining you have to always constantly be researching new products, right? New spirits.
Yes.
How do you keep up with the ever so growing new products coming out?
It's so hard. Social media helps. A lot of the sales guys that come in, they help. So if you got sales guys that are really doing their job good, you're going to find the new products all the time. There's a lot of guys that are, you know, in for the paycheck, so you never hear from them. They rarely hear from them, so you don't get any new products from them. But TikTok and Instagram, IG, there's a lot of new stuff going on there. And then at times when we bring stuff in, I try to figure out new flavors myself. Mm-hmm. So then we will experiment a little bit to try to come up with stuff. So a lot of the new things that we're doing now, I think a guy out of California started it. They were putting cups out, and they were putting the drinks in it. So you'd have the little 50 mLs, a little airplane liquor, putting them in there with it, and then they'd call it certain things. So we kind of went off the spoof of that.
Yeah.
And the stuff that they make is crazy.
Yeah.
So I just went and I said, look, we don't have all those crazy ones. Let's see what we have. We got Malibu. Everybody loves Malibu. Well, they got pineapple. People love pineapple. Well, let's add that with orange juice and, you know, make our own concoctions out of them. So then we'd mix it like, oh my God, this is horrible. Or hey, you know, this tastes really good, right? Okay. Customers would come in. Do you like this one? You like this one? Great. Okay. So you can buy it now. It's already there. It's not pre-mixed. But the recipe is all put together so you can just pour it in and make it at home and enjoy your evening.
Love that. So you're kind of like being a chemist, a scientist.
Yes.
You're trying everything.
Mixologist.
Mixologist. There you go. I want to ask you, change subjects a little bit.
Yes.
Because you've been living in the valley. There's this saying called Puro 956.
Mm-hmm.
And I've asked almost all my guests, like, what's their opinion on this saying? And I like how I always get different answers.
Yes.
So for you, what does that represent, the saying of like Puro 956?
Puro 956, man, it's the pride of the valley. You know, and in the valley, I didn't even realize how the valley was for so long because I'd been here for living here for the last 40 some years. I remember when I was driving out one day to go to Florida and I hit the checkpoint.
Yeah.
I remember I left the checkpoint, went past. I called my dad and I said, hey, I just got to America. And he's like, what do you mean? I said, I just went through the checkpoint. And he starts, man, just call me when you're in Florida, you know, and he hangs up. And that's when it hit me. I was like, as much as we all are with America, from this checkpoint down, we are our own micro world. We are Puro 956. This is a whole different raza, I guess you'd say. Brownsville is different than Weslaco people. Weslaco people are different than Roma people. Then Edinburgh, then San Juan. And we're literally our own little America down here.
Yeah.
With different sayings, different slang, different ways that we dress, different way we even think. I met Hispanics from Harlingen. They're like, we don't learn Spanish. We don't talk Spanish.
Yeah.
And I was like, shit, I'm white and I got to learn Spanish. What are you talking about? And then you go to, you know, Hidalgo and other areas. They're like, that's all you have is Spanish and you better learn Spanish.
Yeah.
So it's amazing how you have this subculture within this culture. Yeah, 956, I've learned one thing and it resonates with all the cities and all the counties that I've been in down here. Mm-hmm. Family, man. There's a lot of family. And I could walk down any neighborhood I want. I don't care how late it is. I'm not worried about getting shot. Not worried about getting stabbed unless I say something wrong.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to be like, get out of here. You're not supposed to be in this neighborhood.
Yeah.
Try that in Houston, Fifth Ward. Try that down over in the higher numbers down in Miami. Mm-hmm. Cops don't even go through there. Yeah. You will get shot and killed, never been seen again.
And there's this idea that down here in this area, because we're right next to the border, there's there's all this type of violence or, like you said, people getting shot, which is actually, you know, the opposite, like you just mentioned.
Well, there's violence down here. There's you know, I'm not going to say that there's no big city crime down here. There is. I mean, there's kidnappings, there's everything. There's a lot of stuff going on, but there's still more family here, more family oriented. Mm-hmm. If a car's broken down on the side of the road, I see more people pulling over to help them than I would ever see anywhere else. You know, and I see that there's still people that are willing to take the shirt off their back and help people down here. You don't see that in a lot of places.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
is there any question that I might have forgotten to ask or anything that you have on your chest that you're wanting to share with people that might be watching or listening?
No, I think you pretty much hit everything. The only thing I can say just for me, you know, being 49 years old here in the Valley, growing up for the last 44 years down here, you don't have to have money to follow your dreams. And down here in the Valley, you can still meet any mayor, you can still meet any politician that you need. If you need to meet up with somebody, there's always somebody that can help you out here in the Valley. And if you want to follow your dreams, believe me, I had everything stacked against me to not be able to do anything. And believe me, if I can do it, anybody can do it. You really can. Just don't have too much pride. Humble yourself and do the right thing.
Johnny, thank you so much for coming to the podcast.
Thank you, man.
I'm really glad you shared your story because we've known each other for a couple months already. And every time, like, man, we got to talk about, you know, your upbringing, your story. And
oh, man, I got so many layers to this onion, it'll make you cry.
So I'm glad we finally were able to sit down and have a proper sharing of what it has been like growing your company. And I had no idea you were in construction. So
learn something
every day.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And you got a great show, and it's going to do great things for the people here in the Valley. And the Poodle 956 really is.
Thank you so much.
No, likewise, man.
Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.